Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
If ex-gays exist, then homosexual activists cannot claim people are born gay. That is why they try so hard to discredit or destroy those who say they have left the homosexual lifestyle. I also believe is one of the reasons behind the effort to ban therapy for minors with unwanted same-sex attraction, which just happened recently in Allentown, becoming the third Pennsylvania city to ban talk therapy for minors with unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion. They're so desperate. Homosexual activists are so desperate to convince Americans that people are born gay, that homosexual organizations even exist that target ex-gays and organizations that help those with unwanted same-sex attraction. One of those recently shut down, and we're going to talk about that as well as one of the sources of the millions and millions of dollars used in homosexual activism. My guest today is Dr. Michael Brown. He's radio host of the nationally syndicated radio show The Line of Fire. He's an author, professor, and he wears many, many hats. Thanks, Dr. Brown, for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Diane.
So, what do you do in your spare time?
Well, you know, it's a joy to be alive at this hour. There's so many issues that need to be addressed, and to be alive and available is wonderful. And I don't think of going to work or having a job. I just get to serve God and serve people 24/7. So it's wonderful.
Fantastic, and we're definitely glad that you're in the fight. And we need more who are willing to join the fight. But back the end of just a few weeks ago, the end of June, homosexual activist Wayne Besson, it's pronounced both ways. He announced he was shutting down his organization, Truth Wins Out. Just who is he, and what was the goal of that organization?
Wayne is a very zealous gay activist, and he launched Truth Wins Out in opposition to Focus on the Family's Love One Out.
Okay.
Love One Out was designed to help people with unwanted same-sex attractions and to offer them hope through the gospel. And Wayne Besson's position was that no one changes, that this is snake oil, that this only hurts people and causes them to suppress their real desires. And he was going to, quote, get the truth out about this. He's been very aggressive, very intense. His style would obviously not be Christian or gracious, and he never claimed to be Christian. In fact, he's a Jewish, perhaps atheist, but certainly Jewish, and quite active in his organization. And he pushed very hard for SPLC or the ACLU or others to get involved and to try to discredit those that work to help people with unwanted same-sex attraction. And I had helped work with some of these ministries, although I can't relate to struggling with same-sex attraction. Coming out of homosexuality is not my story or my testimony. But I wanted to stand side-by-side with those who were coming out, who were getting set free, who were struggling, who were looking for help, because often they're bullied and intimidated by the society, by the gay community, et cetera. So, Wayne went after me a number of times in very strong terms. At one point, we were going to do a debate on a gay TV network that Focus on the Family was going to sponsor, and somehow that ended up not happening. But Wayne was one of the more aggressive, steady voices saying that no one ever changes. He's the one many years back that went after John Polk, who became kind of a poster boy for change, and he said, "You really didn't change. I ran into you in a gay bar, etc." So he's been influential for sure, but it could well be that he doesn't have as many giants to attack right now because of widespread acceptance of homosexuality in society and redefining of marriage. And his reason for shutting down Truth Wins Out was that, well, you know, he's accomplished the mission. I wonder if part of the issue was it was hard to get funding. Because you couldn't create, as many boogeymen out there that needed to be attacked, and the good news is that Jesus still changes lives, and every day people are making a determination: I don't want to live the way I've been living anymore. And people are finding help for their same-sex attraction. So That's why I wrote an article, Ex-Gay is Here to Stay. His organization is going to come and go, others are going to come and go, but people are still going to be set free until Jesus returns.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that part of it is his drop in donors, because I know in the news release he put out that was that I read on, JoeMyGod.com, and the title of his article dealing with this was actually a copy and paste of Besson's news release, but Joe My God entitled his article, "Truth Wins." Wayne Beeson's Truth Wins Out Closes Shop After 11 Years of Shutting Down Ex-Gay Torture Organizations. So that's how Joe My God, that website defined the organizations that Beeson was attacking. But I know that in the news release, he actually makes two appeals for donations to help him maintain the website. So he's going to keep the websites up, and so he's asking for donations to keep them, quote-unquote, operating in perpetuity. So he plans on keeping the websites up. But he's been around, the organization's been around for 11 years. He specifically mentions Love One Out, which, well, like you said, that was Focus's program. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but that was their idea to have Love One Out, Exodus International, and Jonah. Of course, Exodus International imploded when Alan Chambers changed his views on homosexuality, basically, and Jonah was targeted by the SPLC and forced through court order to shut its doors. But none of these were torture organizations. And that's how they were, not just then, but they continue to portray any type of effort to help those with unwanted same-sex attraction to be torture organizations. And that's how they use these, that same terminology when they pass ordinances like in Allentown that now bans therapy, any kind of therapy for minors with unwanted same-sex attraction. They say they're making them, they're born gay and it's causing them to suppress their inner feelings and their homosexual feelings. And that's just sad that things like that are true.
Complete myths. Why? Because when you put the truth on the table, the truth does win. I mean, that's the thing. Wayne's organization shuts down because ultimately truth does win out.
Yeah, true.
And when it's one thing, if some person says, look, I'm gay and I feel much better in my own skin now that I've embraced my gay identity. And, some of these people, when they told me, I should change, it really hurt me. Okay, that's their story.
Mm-hmm.
You have your story.
Right.
I'm not going to dispute your story.
Yeah.
But number one, don't lie about what counselors do when they sit down and talk with someone and talk about their past. Because many of the people, they found out, were wounded in other ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Many of the people were sexually abused. Mm-hmm. Many of the people had a breakdown in family relations. Mm-hmm. Many had some other poor self-image things. And when those get resolved, often the same-sex attractions resolve or disappear. So don't lie about what counselors do, number one. And number two, don't deny other people's stories. You want me to believe your story, that it was oppressive for you to be in a church that taught homosexual practice as sin, and you're much happier in life now that you've embraced your homosexuality and you're living with your partner? Right, that's between you and God. That's your story, fine. But don't deny this story of others, of thousands of others, who say that my life is enriched immeasurably since I came out of homosexual practice and I'm now following the Lord. So what you have to do is you have to lie, you have to come up with these bogus stories, you have to mischaracterize, because the truth ultimately does win out. And again, that's why Wayne's organization has shut down.
Even if
it lasted for 100 years, the truth is ultimately going to win out, and the testimonies of thousands of people cannot be denied.
Exactly. And his truth is not truth. I mean, he doesn't. His foundation is not. His organization is not based on absolute truth, and that's the only real truth there is out there. And it will win out in the end. And it's not Wayne Besson's definition of truth. But a little bit ago, you said that he was one who was instrumental in getting the ACLU involved in this issue. Is that what you said?
Or ACLU or SPLC? These types of groups.
Right.
In other words, that he would say, "Hey, this group, Jonah, or this group, their practices are harmful," and then trying to recruit these others. At least he's taking credit, say, for getting the SPLC involved with going after Jonah.
Right, yeah.
But, the whole thing about Exodus International, which itself is not a ministry, it was a network of ministries, Exodus closed down because Exodus departed from its mission.
Yeah.
It would be as if I own a chain of health food stores, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that healthy eating is in the best interest of an individual and a family.
Right.
And I've taught that for years, but now I begin myself to have fast food day and night and triple thick shakes, you know, with my meals and fries and burgers and then I said, you know what?
Stuff. Yeah.
I forget fruits and vegetables and all that. And, you know, our stores, we're just going to sell candy in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, you know what? We're just going to shut down. Well, does that disprove that healthy foods are good? No. What it means is you departed from the mission.
Yeah.
And first, Alan Chambers, the head of Exodus, changed his theology and embraced an extreme grace message
mm-hmm.
that goes way beyond what Scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
That was number one. Number two is that he changed his views about people being able to change. And he himself had never gone through a serious counseling in a professional way for resolving same-sex attractions and things like that, as far as I'm aware. So basically, organizations within Exodus began to pull out.
Yeah.
They began to challenge Exodus and said, you've departed from your mission. And then when they pulled out and Exodus had lost its way, it closed down. And as much as it brought reproach to the cause, because a lot of people knew Exodus, it's like, wow, this
right.
doesn't work. That's why Exodus closed. In reality, it was good that Exodus closed because it had lost its way.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have other organizations like Restored Hope Network that have joined together. Again, some of the key organizations that with Exodus are now there.
Yeah.
And then more and more churches have ministries that help people with sexual brokenness. So it's not as if a movement stopped. It's that a movement went on, and a leading part of that movement lost its way. That's
yeah.
the issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely, Restored Hope Network is, to me, a much better organization because it's solid. It's on a solid foundation. And can't think of her first name. Last name's Polk. What's her first name?
Ann Polk.
Yeah, Ann. I mean, it's such a difficult name, Ann. but she's done a fantastic job. I know they just recently had their conference. I think it was in June. They had their annual conference in California, I believe it was. But I attended one of their conferences when it was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is a fantastic gathering where she had all these many presenters. Yeah, the ministry is just going on fantastic. So it's good that Restored Hope Network has been able to step in, and that the organizations who are falling under that umbrella and to minister. And as you're saying, more churches are stepping up. This conference was in Lancaster, was held in a church that is part of the ministry to those struggling with sexual addictions and such. So it's good that churches have stepped in, as well as organizations as a whole. But a lot of this, you know, as we see all this activism taking place, we see the attacks on ex-gays, and the agenda is furthering, and we see now the transgender issue coming out as full force. We often wonder, how is it that these homosexual activist organizations get their money? Where do they get the money from? And just recently, last month, I think it was June 27th or so, Rolling Stone had an article. It was actually June 23rd, had an article entitled Meet the Mega Donor Behind the LGBTQ Rights Movement. And that exposed where a lot of the millions and millions of dollars came from. You want to give us a little bit of information on Tim Gill? And actually, I had heard about him because I know that Focus, when Dr. Dobson was still there, they did, when Colorado flipped and became a Democratic state, they began to, Tom Menry did a research on, you know, follow the money trail. It all led to Tim Gill. So that was back in, I'm not sure what year it was, but they did.
Yeah, so Tim Gill is normally behind the scenes. He's mega wealthy and is convinced that gay activism is positive, that LGBT activism is positive, and that he's decided to invest a lot of his money, basically, software genius type
mm-hmm.
stuff, invest a lot of his money in the cause, and to do so behind the scenes. So you have, like, for example, most Americans familiar with the name George Soros. So
yeah.
Here he's an ultra-liberal billionaire, and he invests his money strategically in all different kinds of causes, some large, some small, to try to turn public opinion, to try to create certain mindsets, to try to influence lawmakers. Well, Tim Gill's done that, especially on the political side,
mm-hmm.
To strategically invest in certain candidates. He takes credit for helping to oust Governor Pat McCrory in North Carolina and bring in former Attorney General Roy Cooper. Interestingly, though, as one who lives in North Carolina, It is true that Pat McCrory was outspent 2-1, but there were three major issues where Governor McCrory was under attack. Only one of them was HB2. Mm-hmm. Others were completely unrelated mm-hmm. issues that would only concern North Carolinians.
And he was not that, and really, he wasn't really a conservative, is my understanding.
Well, Pat McCrory had taken good stands on a number of issues as mayor on a number of key things mm-hmm. and was definitely the better one for us to be working with.
Oh, right.
But if not for these other issues, you know, about a toll road somewhere and relationship with Duke Energy, he still would be the governor.
Okay.
In other words, despite all the spending and despite controversy over HB2, that was not make or break. But bottom line is, Tim Gill's funding did help with this. So he has strategically given to different political candidates, to organizations, to help shift things politically. Now, we know there are wealthy conservative donors. Everyone has the right
That's
to
true.
Do this. In other words, let everybody do what they think is right with their money, mm-hmm. and it's admirable for him to say, hey, I want to invest this money, not just in personal wealth, but in advancing a cause. We just say it's the wrong cause.
Right.
But what he said
right.
is now we're going to go into the tougher states and, quote, we're going to punish the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
So who does he mean? Well, he means people like you, people like yeah. me, because we oppose the goals of gay activists, because we say that a boy who identifies as a girl should not be allowed to shower with the girls in the girls' locker room, and
exactly.
and that no state should be able to force that on someone. We say, ideally, a child should have a mom and a dad and should not be raised in an environment where, by design, they'll be deprived of either a mom or a dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we say and believe. But we then would be wicked because we are fighting against the, quote, rights of gays and lesbians. And therefore,
and that's how
it's an all-out
yeah.
battle. We are the ones that he wants
or
to punish.
Bad guys, yeah. And that's how the SPLC identifies hate groups. If you oppose same-sex marriage, all the lists that you just gave, I mean, Tim Gill and the SPLC would use the same definitions to define, quote, unquote, the wicked ones or the haters. It would be the same definition. Those who stand on the biblical definition of marriage and those who, as you said, believe that children should be raised in a household with a mom and a dad, that they should not be intentionally raised with just one parent. So, yeah, Tim Gill has pledged to continue fighting, and this article mentions that in 28 states, it's still legal to discriminate against LGBTQ people in housing, employment, and public accommodations, like restrooms, restaurants, hotels, and Pennsylvania is one of those. But he's going to put money, into Pennsylvania, I'm sure, maybe through the Human Rights Campaign, because I just read a Human Rights Campaign is going to be using like $25 million in certain key states during the midterms, and Pennsylvania is one of those states, to try to, in our case, keep Bob Casey as senator, because Pat Toomey just won his re-election, but to keep Bob Casey as senator come the midterm elections. And there's the continued effort here in Pennsylvania to have them pass a statewide, quote-unquote, non-discrimination ordinance, which would include sexual orientation and gender identity. So Tim Gill's donating his money for what he views as the furtherance or the betterment of the LGBTQ civil rights movement is the way that they put it. So it's also worked to block religious freedom bills, such as in Atlanta, in Georgia. So yeah, when he says we're going to punish the wicked, there's no doubt as to who he's talking about. And it's like, as you said, those who stand on the biblical truth about marriage and sexuality and such. He doesn't like
us. So listen, you know, again, he's not trying to behead us or something like that. We just have to recognize what we're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
recognize the opposition, educate people as best as we can,
mm-hmm.
change hearts and minds. And when there is a lot of money coming in from the ultra-liberal side, then we've got to do our best to encourage it from the conservative side.
Yeah, true. Unfortunately, there's some liberal Republican donors. You know, they have mega bucks like Tim Gill, and they don't agree with us on the issue of homosexuality and transgenderism. So
they have general conservative political agendas, mm-hmm. maybe national security or spending or limited government, but they have pulled away from these. They need to wake up and realize that this is a fundamental threat to our freedom of religion, speech, and conscience, and therefore they've got to be alert to this. And now with transgender activism going as far as it has, I think people are waking up.
Give us your contact information.
Sure thing. Website is askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Go in there. They'll find links to all of our articles, videos, radio show, and everything.
Hey, thanks so much. You take care.
All right.
Okay.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.